aging's impact on mobility and transportation. What do we know and how can we change? Scott Helm is with the Midwest Center for Nonprofit Leadership at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. He presented on this topic during a meeting of the KC4 Aging and Community Initiative on December the 11th, 2009. Scott's study on this issue with seniors and aging advocates and civic leaders, you did a study. What did you find out during that process?
Well, we found out a variety of different things, but I think if I started with the big aha for us was that mobility is as big of an issue as transportation. In fact, mobility is probably the key issue, not transportation. And by that, what I mean is the ability of seniors and individuals with disabilities to be able to move around after they access a given destination, for example, a department store or a park or a museum or an entertainment venue, is critical. And we often have traditionally thought of the transportation and mobility. Well, we thought of transportation in particular as the challenge. So how do we get people from A to B? And A to B, while not perfect, is further along in the curve than the ability to access B or move around B.
And that's why we have a lot of interstates and we have a lot of parking, acres and acres of parking.
Acres and acres of parking. And I think it's interesting as these variety of different perspectives and disciplines come together around this issue of aging and the work that Daniel Sirt has been doing from a professional academic standpoint. And he's far better to talk about. And he mentioned the acres and acres of parking that we have in Kansas City. And there's some pretty striking visual depictions of what our parking lots look like and the mass parking lots. And we look at it, and it shouldn't be ruled out completely as a weakness. It's a strength for living. A lot of people like Kansas City because they can move around with little to no traffic, and so that's an advantage. However, we also need to think about our least the individuals in our community who have the least mobile options available to them.
Now, let's define that a little bit. There's a difference between transportation and mobility, and actually individuals, and I didn't know this, there's a different kind of skill set, and the skill set that you lose last is the ability to drive, and it takes more to be able to walk from point A to point B.
That's exactly correct. I'll personalize it with an example. My wife's grandmother was driving up till the age of probably 89 or 90 years old. And what actually ended up being the critical issue that prevented her from continuing to live independently, she had to move in with her daughter, my wife's mother, was the getting in and out of the car. Hmm. Once in the car, everything was fine, but a couple of falls resulted of getting in and out of the car, which she was stranded in a driveway. That's the issue. And that was a surprise to me, too. I take for granted, I think, the ability to walk and use stairs and hills and bumpy sidewalks. And when balance begins to become an issue, which happens from atrophy first, muscle atrophy in the legs in particular, then what we begin to see is that driving is a less exertive activity than walking or other mobility activities.
Another aspect that you came across in this study was that we have isolated senior living communities.
We do. We have very isolated senior living communities. And what we mean by that is they're isolated – A, from the communities from which the senior was living in before they moved into a community, or B, to typical amenities that you would expect in a community, grocery stores, commercial shopping, entertainment venues. And some of that is the kind of diffuse nature of Kansas City and the way it's laid out, which will be a little more unique maybe than some East Coast cities or other cities. But the other issue is that there hasn't necessarily been – we're just acknowledging now the critical issues around senior living communities and dignity of the individual as they age in their communities and how critical that is to their mental health. And so we do. We need to think about it. It doesn't have to be an and/or independent living or a home. It can potentially be staying in your community in a facility that is comfortable, safe, and remains dignified.
Another aspect was a growing need for seamless transit options. And yeah. Kansas City is kind of, you got Blue Springs on one side and Olathe on another side. And so there's not a seamless transit option that exists.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you and I, Laurel, know that from living here in Kansas City. But I think a lot of people who aren't from Kansas City probably don't realize how large the city is. And because of healthcare provision and the way that health insurance can control who, what provider you have to go to, you could live on one end of the city, no matter what end it is, and have to be transported across the entire city, which is a significant distance, 45 minutes to an hour potentially to go across the city. I guess potentially longer, depending if you were really on the outskirts. And that's a significant amount of time, effort, and resources that it would take to do that. So we want to be cognizant of the fact that Kansas Cityans look at their entire metro area, at least the five-county area we talk about in this report, as their community. And so they have a very broad, holistic aspect of their community, which is a wonderful community asset that we could leverage. But part of that means we have to recognize that people are going to need to be transferred across county lines, city lines, and state lines actually too, because we have a state line that runs through the metro area. And that's going to require additional coordination that a city within a county wouldn't necessarily have to deal with.
Now, the good news from this study was that you found that regional leaders are committed to developing productive and pragmatic solutions.
Yeah, I think so. I think that the event that we had on the 11th was representative of that, where we had a state senator from the Kansas side, as well as people who sit on the Mid-America Regional Council Board, who are past and present mayors. And so we have people who are committed. And we shouldn't just look at elected officials. It's easy to point to public officials and say, fix it. But we actually also have engagement from nonprofit professionals. We have engagement from non-elected public officials. And that people who realize this is an issue and a very one that we have to face very quickly. And I think we're beginning to look at and target for-profit leaders as well, which I think is a critical piece to the puzzle.
Some 10-year goals that were developed with this study, a goal of a regional leadership and governance capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the governance and leadership is a critical issue, and it kind of bounces off of exactly what you were just saying, is who's really going to be the champion of this moving forward. And I'm affiliated with a university, and I'm in an academic center at a university, and you know, universities aren't traditionally in line to lead efforts like this. And I don't think there was ever any perception that we would. And we have some pretty key players in the game right now, but we also need someone who can sustain this effort moving forward, and not just mobility, but all the five pillars of the aging in place, the aging in community initiative. And so that is a critical issue, and there are obviously some possible organizations that may be duly, very well set up to do this. But we need to continue to push this along so that it's an attractive opportunity for any governance and leadership organization.
Another goal, build the public and political will. And I talked to John Carney on this on another podcast related to this. That is so critical.
It really is. And I look at it from a social marketing standpoint, from both the public as well as the political will side. And it's about establishing value propositions. I think one of the best things that comes out of a convening of a group of diverse personalities and people is that you really get to frame value and the significance of an issue from so many different perspectives, whether it's a financial perspective or it's a moral issue, or it's a moral imperative. And that is going to be critical to the advocacy work that's going to have to take place in the next 3 to 5 years, and which starts today, hopefully, but continues for the next 3 to 5 years to really make an impact. And so there really has to be – one, we have to measure the baseline of where people are. We can't assume that because it's important to the people who have been involved in this project that it's important to everybody out there. And two, once we assess that, we need to find out the constituent groups and how we can communicate with them to move this process along.
So we have this process. We move it along. What is a future mobility system look like in Kansas City in 20 or 30 years?
I think it is going to be seamless. Ideally, it's accessible. And it has to be flexible, because as good of a picture as we have from the work of like the Mid-America Regional Council and the demographers in our area, we know from other cities and cases that have taken place in the past that if we're rigid and something dramatically changes in the Kansas City demographics or the population, that the mobility system has to be flexible to deal with those individuals. So we definitely are working from a value position that we need to care about our seniors. The other thing we're working – the other perspective with which we're looking at what's the mobility system look like is that the seniors are happy and independent and making choices about their independence. So it's not about just living in your house. It's about having the option to live in your house, which is so vitally critical to any community that values each of its citizens.
Scott Helm is with the Midwest Center for Nonprofit Leadership at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. For more information about the KC4 Aging in Community Initiative, visit practicalbioethics.org. That's practicalbioethics.org. I'm your host, Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.